Okay, Perek Yud Aleph Pasek Chaf Gimel Umin Hischabrus Elov Yase Mirma. We are going to continue learning these psukim according to the interpretation of Rashi and the Mitsudos. If you look in the other Mefarshim, namely the Malbim and the Abarbanel, they learned the interpretation of psukim very differently. The art scroll Perish on Doniel by Rav Hirsch Goldworm emphasizes very much the opinion of the Abarbanel and the Malbim, which pretty much takes all of these psukim and pushes it back 200 years, or not 200 years, but pushes it back towards the time before the, or during the time of the Chanukah miracle, and that period of time. According to how we're learning now, we are now jumping ahead 103 years towards the beginning of the Malchus of Rome, where Rome really begins to dominate the region and puts an end to the dynasty of the Hashmonaim. Okay, so now Pasuk of Gil Minaschabrus Elov Yase Mirma. The Schabrus Elov here refers to the partnership of Rome with Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned yesterday, as we quoted the Gemara in Avodah Zarah yesterday, that Rome attempted for many years to conquer Yavon. It failed to do so until it made a bris, a treaty with Bnei Yisrael. By making this treaty with Bnei Yisrael, so on many levels, and according to the Gemara, it was more of a minion of Hashkafa. We recognize that the Jewish people, they are supreme, and therefore Yavon has to now humble itself and transfer power to us. But on a more mundane and a simpler outlook, there was an alliance. There was a strategical alliance between two major players in the region, and together they were able to do things that one nation alone would not be able to do. Klal Yisrael was much too weak in order to conquer the Greeks, the Egyptian Greeks, nothing to talk about. And Rome also was unsuccessful to conquer the Egyptian Greeks at this point in time. But together, they were able to pool their resources. Besides the hashkafa of the matter we discussed yesterday, but on a strategic level, they were able to accomplish things that they were unable to do. But in the process of making this partnership, the Romans deceived Klal Yisrael, and eventually brought upon Klal Yisrael much harm. That's what this pasuk of here says. Umin hischabrus 11, through Rome joining Bnei Yisrael, Ya'aseh Mirma, they will ultimately bring about deceit. They will be deceitful. The Allah, they will ascend the Otsam, and they will conquer Bima'at Goy. Even though their resources are limited, they don't have many arms, they don't have many soldiers, they don't have much cavalry, they don't have much to offer, but through their partnership with the Jewish people, they'll be able to do things that otherwise they were unable to do. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Chav Gil Min Aschabu Say Lav Yaseh Mirma Umin Ashutfis Sheyishtatef Im Yisrael. This is according to Rashi. We're now after the period of the Hashmonaim. We're now beginning the period of the Romans, those last 103 years, or getting close to those 103 years, where they make a partnership with the Romans, with Bnei Yisrael, Mishal Min Hashutfit Sheishtatet Im Yisrael Yasem Mirma Shelo Yigale Machshav Ra. They're not revealing their true intent. Okay, let's see, the Allah, they will ascend, Mimikomai, from Rome, the Otsam, and they will be very mighty and powerful, B'chol Mekomo Shesivivos Eretz Yehuda, Be'edoim, Be'amoin, Uvimoav. In these three lands, Edom, Amon, and Moav. Edom, we're referring over here not to the nation, because Rome is now becoming Edom, but referring to the Romans that were in Italy, and they're coming. Edom is along the southeast of the biblical Edom. The biblical Edom is the southeast of Eretz Yisrael, not Italy, we're not dealing with right, the people of Edom, and Amon Umoav, which are to the east of Eretz Yisrael, Bima'at Goy, Rashi, Lo Yitztorich L'chayil Kaved. The Romans will not need a large army. Ki Yazor Oso Melech Yehuda, because of this alliance, now that they are aligned strategically with the Jewish people will provide them with soldiers, and will provide them with, more importantly, with intelligence. Okay, we think today we live in a modern world and everything is all about intelligence and drones and spy satellites. If you look back in these psukim, there was a lot greater sophistication in war through doing more with less during the beginning of the conquest of the Romans, and these psukim make that very, very clear. All of these tricks and strategic moves. As it's written in Sefer Yosef, in the history of the Jews. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. The Mitzvot Kamat says exactly the same thing. Let's see the Mitzvot Pasachov. The Pasachov, again, it's good to see them both because they complement each other. They're a little bit different sometimes. They are basically following the same approach, the same time period, but there are nuances which are there are differences, and there are things which complement each other. From that moment in time that we discussed yesterday at great length, when the Romans formed an alliance with the Jewish people, this treaty, which appears all over Tanakh and Chazal, especially in the Vim, this covenant that was forged between the Romans and the Jewish people in the early years, the Romans were deceitful. They used this to their advantage. They did not reveal their true intent of what they were ultimately planning to do to the Jewish people. They would one day nullify and break the treaty and attempt to conquer the Jewish people as well. The Olav Otsam, they will ascend and be powerful. Now that they had this alliance, they were given intelligence reports, they were given satellite images of the region by Eretz Yisrael concerning what was taking place in that region, and they were now able to ascend and conquer areas around Yerushalayim, non-Jews, not area. They were not at this moment in time bringing harm to Klal Yisrael, but they were conquering the neighbors of Klal Yisrael, different non-Jewish neighbors in the region. And they were able to prevail, even though they had a small army, which they brought from Rome, because their success came through deceit. B'mirma pita es melech Yisrael. They enticed the Melech Yisrael to assist him b'milchama im anoshav kimash amar b'yosiv, and exactly what it says, to come out what Rashi says. Pasuk of Dalet. And this is a very important pasuk. This pasuk is Ma'is Avos Simul Abanim. B'shalva, in peace. Repeating the theme of the last pasuk. They now, the Romans, come to the region. They go north. And they come to that region of where Eretz Yisrael is, and Eretz Yisrael at this point in time, there were many neighbors. I don't know if we know all the details, but there were many neighbors, non-Jewish neighbors living in the region, and they come there b'shalva, in peace, uve mishmanei medina, yavo, and they enter into the fattest lands. Now, simply, according to the simple translation of the pasuk, we are referring to the best lands in the vicinity of Eretz Yisrael, including Eretz Yisrael itself. There's Eretz Yisrael, there's Yerushalayim, the capital, and then there are other cities of Eretz Yisrael, and at this point in time, there are other non-Jewish cities that have set up shop in Eretz Yisrael and surrounding Eretz Yisrael. And they are being described here in this pasuk, according to the literal, simple translation, as the Mishmanei Medina. Mishmani means fat, shemen, the fattest, fertile territory, Medina, countries, Yavo, Rome will come. And they're going to come, I'm your best friend. You know who's here? Your neighbor from down south, from Italy. I'm here, we're a tourist, we're coming to see, can we take some pictures, can we come look around? And you know, we're going to spend a lot of money here. We're going to know that the tourist industry in the United States, in New York City, I mean, this is the season now. I mean, out of this country, New York City spends millions of dollars advertising to draw in tourists to celebrate the new year here. That's exactly what they said. We're going to come and we're going to spend a lot of money. So they come in peace. B'shalva, in peace. U'v'shmanei medina yavo. They enter into the best lands. V'asa, and they will then do things with trickery, which their forefathers, the forefathers of Rome, whoever they are, Esav, even Esav, the Tzayit, or whoever the forefathers, it's not exactly clear who the of the fathers, who are we referring to, but the earlier Romans, whoever they were, it's not exactly, okay, Rome, we learned yesterday the legend, Rome started in the year 700 BCE, according to the legend of Romulus and Remus, and the she-wolf along the river, the along the river, whatever it is, but they will accomplish things now, of their fathers, va'avos of their forefathers, period. They'll do things that were never done before. They will be successful. How will they be? It's a very hard pasuk to translate. How will they be successful? So the pasuk here tells us their trick, their technique. Biza, vishalol, urechush, three things. Three different words that describe wealth. The country of Rome at this point in time already is a very rich nation. Okay, we're dealing here before the Roman Empire. We're dealing here the early development of the nation of Rome. But they're very wealthy. And they have in their possession what's called biza, shalol, urechush. Biza and shalol simply mean things that they plunder. They steal booty from other nations. They've conquered other nations. And they've stolen. They've taken for themselves the treasures. Biza v'shalol. I don't know the difference between these two words. Biza, yeah.
It's not earned wealth. It's ripped off like everything.
Stolen from someone else through war. So they'll say it's legitimate. We fought a war, so we took it. Or whatever it is. But these are the spoils of war. Again, I do not know the difference between the word biza v'shalol. I'm sure there is a difference, but whatever it is. Urechush. And assets. So maybe rechush, maybe that has a more kosher word. Maybe that means they actually earned it. Whatever it is, they're a very wealthy nation. And you know what they do with their wealth? Lohem yivzar. They give it away for free. They come into the region, they come into the area of Eretz Yisrael. They're not at this point in time yet causing harm to the Jewish people because they need them. They need them for their intelligence, they need them for assistance, they need them for legitimacy. But when they enter the region, they come into the surrounding lands and they say, we're here, we're tourists, we want to visit. We're going to spend a lot of money. We're going to take from our wealth, our biza, our shol rechush, lohem, to them, yivzar. They will distribute. Yivzar means like pizer. Like what?
Seed money.
Right. Like yivzar means to distribute. Like pazer. To spread. The pay and the bays many times are interchangeable. Yivzar. But what are they doing, right? So let's just see the words of the pasuk, yeah. And then we'll see. V'yal mivt, and then what's their real intent? Their real intent is like you said, to implant themselves. Oh, we're here. We're partners. We're gonna buy some real estate. We're gonna spend some money, and slowly but surely, you know, we have a house here. We have to participate in the laws. We have to have a representative in government, and you know, we're the majority. We represent. China owns half of America. They invest in the country. When they give their down payment, they're saying, oh, we're just here to enjoy the beauty of the country. But in the back of their mind, they're liars. The only reason why we are investing in this country is because of our long-term plan that we will take our seed money will take root. Exactly. And we, exactly. Exactly, exactly. That's what they're doing. V'al mivtzarim, and upon, because all of this was all for what? Because the alam mivtzarim, upon the strong cities, the strongholds, yichashev machshevoisav, they have their planning evil plans. Their thoughts are here in advance. They are already thinking how they're going to conquer, take over the mivtzarim, the strongholds.
The word rechush, maybe we'll get another meaning from the
Rechush Gadol Yotzei Min Mitzrayim. So it was
possessions.
That was wealth.
So right. It's wealth.
Wealth that they took from Mitzrayim.
It all depends on the context.
Bezo and Shalol are both illegal, so maybe Rechush
is more legitimacy. They earned it. Bnei Yisrael, they were slaves for 210 years, so they have a right. This is our. We built a city. It's our hard labor. We earned it. It's legitimate. You have to know the difference between these two words, but you have three words. Now this will go on the Ad Eis, and this will continue. This plan will continue for a long time, the odd until ace for a prolonged period of time. Now let's see the Rashi and then the Mitzudas, then we'll explain a few interesting things about this pasuk of Zalat. Biza v'shalol urechush lohem yivzon. Rome will enter the region and will distribute their wealth to the people living in this region. We're not coming in war. We're not coming to conquer. We have no weapons. We've gone through all of the metal detectors. We're clean. What we have are suitcases of cash. Suitcases of cash don't set off metal detectors. We're here to spend money. Yechalek Rashi, Yechalek L'chol HaMekablim Ulam Aleihem. They distribute their money to all those that are willing to accept their yoke. In other words, they're already coming to dominate. We'll pay you to give us power. That's our rationale. Anyone that's willing to accept our yoke upon you, we'll pay you off. Until eventually, through payoffs, they will conquer the entire region, b'chanufa, with flattery, and uv'chalkalkos, with smooth talk. Chalkalkos, with smooth talk. They will sweet talk, and flatter, and pay money, and that's how they will conquer. They will wonder, you'll wake up, and wait, who owns this country? Who owns the country? The Romans own the country. How did they get here? They didn't come with tanks and war, with planes. They came as tourists. Gave away their money. Oh, can we buy this house, that house, before we turn around, they are in control. Yivzor kmo yifazer, v'chein bizzer amim. The word yifazer, the pair of the bays are interchangeable. These are two letters which have many times in Tanakh, like barzel and parzela. The targum for iron is parzel with a pay. And that is barzel with the bays. So the pay and the bays, many times in Tanakh, can be interchanged. So here when it says yivzor,
basically the same sound.
The pay and the base.
They'll tell you they're the same sound.
If you look in the Sefer,
in Arabic, for example, they don't have the letter. They don't have the letter P. So
B.
Nablus. Example. The city of Nablus.
Yeah.
It's named by the Romans Neapolis.
Neapolis. So the
Neapolis.
P.
And the Arabs don't have the letter P. They substitute a B.
So not Nablus.
So now it becomes Nablus. So
Nablus, I see. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have over here. Barzel, parzel.
A Bach instead of a Bach.
What? Instead of what?
A record. You know, the old
thing
they have, they can't say Bach.
So they say Bach. Really? Interesting. If you look in the Sefer Torah, the letter K, Ksav Ashuris, look at the inside of the letter P. The inside of the letter P is the letter Beis. Next time you get an Aliyah, you look
upside
in there.
Down.
Not upside down.
Well,
not upside down. In the inside of the letter P in the Sefer Ksav Ashuris is the letter Beis. Connects V'al Mivsarim, and upon the strongholds, Avoidas kochom mazalos, the Akum, referring here to Rome, Yachshev machshavoysav, lochayshev roshay gaisoysav, gaisoysav. They will set their plans in motion to establish their armies. Ad eish sheyah kol ad eish. When it says the pasuk until a certain period of time, ad eish sheyah kol kovash tachem. Until a time they will plan for that moment in time when they will be able to conquer the entire country. Let us see the Mitzudos. He says something very similar. Pasuk of Dalid. I'm reading Pasuk Chof Dalid in the Mitzudos David. B'shalva. Shalva in peace. B'mirma. Ba b'divrei shalva. They will come b'divrei shalva. V'nichnas b'mishmani medina. They will come in peace. Enter into the most beautiful parts of the region. Ratzu lamar b'makayim hazav hakesef. They'll come to the places that are wealthy. They'll only come to the wealthy neighborhoods. Leman, why are they coming here? So they make believe we're coming here as tourists. No, they're not. They're coming as spies. Leman yirag Eloi saw, in order to spy the land, to figure out how this country works. How do you get elected? How do you pass laws? How do you become, get in control? The lo hayu nishmarim imenu, and the people, the locals, are not going to be, they're not going to pick up on what's going on. They're not going to be careful. They're not going to be on guard. Ki al ki baba divrei shalv, because these are nice people. They're such pleasant people. They're so kind. They spend. They give us big tips. And look at the money they give us. The asa v'sham asa ma'is ma'shelo yasu avaisa v'chayzim afarish ma'him ma'is ma'im. What are the ma'isim? V'yamar. This technique, they have a brilliant technique. The way they're going to come is with bribes. Much money. Never happened in history. People were so generous to give away so much money. It's only a trick. It's just to deceive lebal yargishu, so that the people who are the recipient should not detect bo shabo l'ragel. They're coming to spy. Bizbei sham habiza. That's why they are distributing the spoils. The hashalol. And by the way, it's no big deal for them, because they don't. It's not even their money. The money has been redistributed. What's the big deal? What, the Romans come? If there was their hard earned money, we sweated for this money, okay, then we're not, we stole it. So what's the big deal? Anyway, it's not our money. It's easy for us to part with this wealth.
And anyway, they're going to end up with it.
Later on anyway, that's the investment. So it's a brilliant plan in every respect. They took in other wars, laharos asher kabir, with certainty, matza yadai, that we hear just to be in peace. The inkesef zav nechshav laluma. Don't think that we're coming to steal from you, because why would we want to steal from you when we're giving away our money? So this was their trick. The al mivtzar yichashev al beemes. The mitzvahs continue. The truth is yichashev hu b'machshavosav lilkoid es hamivtzarim. They're planning in their thoughts and their deepest thoughts to conquer the fortresses haheim that exist in these countries. Asher sham. What's in these fortresses? Like you said, Fort Knox, the strongholds. What's in the strongholds? The money. That's where the money is. Why the police asked the bank robber? Why did you rob the bank?
That's where the money is.
What, are you going to go rob the grocery store? You rob the bank. Haheim asher sham hazav. That's where the money is. Ularagel bo, and they're coming to spy. V'yad ace. What does it mean over here? These words, these last words of the pasuk. V'yad ace. Machshavtoi shemur etzlo. This deception is hidden in the hearts and minds of the Romans. Ad bo ha'ace, until they're able to make their move. They fooled the people for a very long time. Ad bo ha'ace asher yelo le'el yado, until they have power in their hand l'chavsham, to conquer. So this deception will be well guarded among in their hearts and minds until the right moment in time. Now, there are two things I want to point out in this pasuk. This pasuk, pasuk of Dalit, really is, this is the beginning of Rome. It is the beginning of Edom, and this story took place about 2,100 years ago, and the Edom today is accepted to be, I don't know, we don't really know who's Edom today, but let's say you assume it's the world powers there are today. We're in Golis Edom, United States, European Union, Western culture, Western society. It's exactly what's going on. How does the United States get its way in the Middle East and the whole world for that matter? Money. I mean, recently, who brokered the ceasefire with the Palestinians and Israel? Egypt. Why was Egypt so generous to broker this ceasefire? Okay, it wasn't exactly
money.
United States in the news. There's no secrets. Every single said to Egypt, if you don't do what we want, we will withhold hundreds of millions of dollars of foreign aid.
Military.
Military aid, money, it's all about money. You want the Egyptians would thrive if Hamas would become a major player and would be able to continue sending missiles into Eretz Yisrael. But we have no choice. Why don't we have, to listen to America? Why? Because America supports us. They give us hundreds of millions of dollars of foreign aid. So America, and this, the same thing is true for Turkey, and the same thing is true for Saudi Arabia, and the same thing is true for all the countries, especially going back years ago with the oil in Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
But simultaneously, and I'm digressing, is that probably there was U.S. pressure on Israel to sign on very fast.
Okay, same thing. So how much aid does Israel, America give to Israel? Also much more, billions of dollars of foreign aid, military. They paid for the iron. Who paid for the iron dome? America paid for the Iron Dome. America has their own interest. They want it for themselves as well. They want it. What?
Raytheon Corporation. Yeah, but it's American workers.
But America paid the bills.
They gave $215 million for the
$215 million.
The Obama administration gave it. For Obama, Bush did not want to give it because they thought it was going to be a failure. And Americans had a better system.
And they were patriots.
When the Defense Department initially looked at the Iron Dome, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. There was one famous Israeli general who was pushing with the scientists. American issue did not want to accept it.
That's right.
And Obama was going to push it through.
Gave 215.
So you got to give credit where credit is due. It's a game changer. It is an amazing. If you read all the, this is an amazing. This is what made the difference between this war and the past. But this theme continues ad hayom hazeh.
Can we learn a lesson from these psukim here regarding the evangelical Christians and Israel? Can we compare the evangelical Christians and the Romans coming in with the smile?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know enough about Nefesh used to in the beginning.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money. I don't think they do anymore.
But not all by any means.
Okay, so but the point, this is a very fascinating pasuk because this is the beginning of Edom's hold on the region, and it was done with a unique approach. No wars, no planes, no tanks, no soldiers, no boots on the ground. Money. It's all about money. Three words: Biza, Vishalal, Ruchush, Lohem Yivzar. Give away all the money, and you give money, you'll do what we want. And they'll keep this in their mind until the right time when they can make their move. Maisa avos similar banim. This is how it started, and this is the way it continues to go ad hayom hazeh. Look, in a way, it's good. At least there's less bloodshed. So if anywhere there's going to be a war, we'll let at least be without blood. Yeah.
In a sense, you can see who the ancestors of the mafia are. I'm your new partner.
You're right. It's a new approach. It's a new approach, and it says to Asher Loi Osu, this is the beginning of the modern world. We think the modern world began in the 21st century. If you want to be Makel, you'll say the 20th century, but the modern world began 2,100 years ago. A new technique, Asher Loi Osu, Avoisav, Avoisav. This technique was never done. But it says, this was a new idea. A new idea, a new technique, ushered in the beginning of Edom. Edom was founded on this principle: we will pay to get our will in the world all over. And this is exactly the way the world works today.
It's warfare, but by other means.
Exactly. So there, right? Exactly. So that's exactly what it says. Exactly, Rashi and the Mesudas, word for word. Now, that's one very important thing to remember from this parak and this pasuk. Another thing, which is also important, but going a different angle, that this pasuk alludes. This is really a medrash. The medrash Seichel Tov. You familiar with this medrash?
I heard of it.
Medrash Seichel Tov Bereish. That this, and it's quoted in other sources as well, is that this is an allusion to the bracha, the fulfillment of the bracha of Yaakov Avinu to Esav. What happened? Yaakov got the brachos. He stole the brachos from Yitzchak. Yaakov stole the brachos. He went to Yitzchak in disguise as Esav. Yitzchak, the birchas Yitzchak, gave him all the brachos to Yaakov. Esav comes in crying, "Father, what did you do? I was deceived by my brother. He already stole from me the b'chor when we were young. I sold it to him for a pot of lentils. And now look what he did. He came in disguise, in my clothing, and he stole the brachas. Isn't there one more bracha you can give me? So Yaakov said, Yitzchak says, sorry, buddy. That's it. There's nothing left for you. There's nothing. Habracha achas. There is one bracha left. What that means is not for now, but Yitzchak indeed gave him a bracha, and he told him, Mishmanei Horetz Yihye Moishavecha. And from the fat of the land will be Moishavecha. And what does Rashi, what does Chazal comment in that pasuk? It means that from you will one day come the nation of Rome, which we associate with Edom. All of this is very complicated. How is Rome Edom? Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on. Maybe next week we'll discuss this in more detail if I'm able to figure it out on my own. But eventually you will come a nation and you will develop into Italia Shel Yavan. Well, it's called Italia Shel Yavan, it's Ovia, but it's called Italia. They really come from Yavan. Kittim is a descendant. That's all part of the discussion of Italy. Let's leave out the Yavan part. Let's leave that. That's because as far as we're concerned, that's Rome. That's not Yavan, but that's a different topic. But Italy, that was the bracha of Yitzchak to Esav, that Mishmanei Haaretz Yihye Moishavecha. You will have in this world Olam Hazeh the best, the fat of the land. Now we think Eretz Yisrael is the fat of the land. It is. Eretz Yisrael is the best. But in another respect, there's a parallel to Eretz Yisrael called Italy. How did Italy come into existence? There are various midrashim. It didn't really exist. Somehow there was a something in the sea and whatever. But Italy. Here is the beginning of that period of time. The Romans were nothing. They were a nothing nation. They were a third world, a fourth world country. You don't even heard of them. They didn't exist, the Romans. And all of a sudden, at this period of time, they begin to develop. Like just like Babel began to develop out of nowhere, and just like Yavan developed out of nowhere, they began to develop. And then they went to war with Yavan. So we learned yesterday, 32 battles. They lost every single battle. All of a sudden, they made a partnership with Klal Yisrael, and now they're on top of the world. And now is when Rome begins to thrive. Begins to thrive in many dimensions, and that's what it says over here, that Beshalva, now at this point in time, they have the Hischabrus, the previous pasuk, the partnership with the Jewish people, they begin to develop, and now Beshalva with peace, Uvi Mishmanei Medina Yavoi, they come to Italy. They develop in peace, and they fulfill the bracha of Mishmanei Haaretz Yihye Moishavecha. The also, and they will accomplish there in that land, Asheloi also Avoisav, 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 period. And they will, so according to this interpretation, when it says that they will do what their fathers and grandfathers were not able to accomplish, it means the development of their country. We're now referring to the way we learned originally, it means as far as their plan, their strategy. That's one interpretation. That's the simple interpretation. They have a new strategy, and through their new strategy, they're going to deceive the world and get their will through paying, through redistribution of wealth. We'll conquer one nation, take their money, and pay off another nation, and so on and so forth. We'll take our own people, and we take away all their money, and we'll give it away to other countries to get what we want. That's the simple interpretation. The other interpretation is they will establish a malchus in the Mishmanei Haaretz, Italia Shel Yavan, to fulfill the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu that was given to Yaakov. So that's another very important thing to keep in mind when you learn this pasuk of Daal. Okay, what?
The idea is that Esau is the one who has Olam Hazeh.
Correct.
So, and therefore the idea is that the Jewish people are supposed to be not so involved in Olam Hazeh, they're supposed to be involved in
Torah.
In Torah, right? So that when the final reckoning comes, they have all this they get then to enjoy the spoils of what Esau developed all this time.
So here's where it's you're learning an interpretation of the pasuk. You're coming to explain what exactly is the bracha, the big picture, right? But that is now coming; it's unfolding. This is now beginning to unfold during this period of time. Pasuk Chaf Hey, V'yoer Koychoi Ulevavo Al Melech HaNegev. Now we are discussing. Now we're going to some history. At this point in time, this we're going to we have to understand the big picture, how this you will match this to the secular records of history. The secular historical perspective is another topic in and of itself, but the way the psukim are presented here, there are three major conquests that Rome attempts to achieve. Their first conquest is now when they first get started, when they conquer Yavon. There's a whole series of battles. There's a whole kufa, a whole period of where they're on the ascendancy. They come up from Rome. They come to this region. They come over here to Eretz Yisrael and to Egypt, and they conquer the whole area, and they succeed. They succeed in conquering Egypt, they succeed in forming an alliance with the Jewish people, and they become dominant in the region. Then they go back home. And then they come back a second time, for more. And the second time, they have already annulled, abrogated their treaty with the Jewish people. Originally, the only reason why they came to power was because they made this treaty with Klal Yisrael. You know what, Klal Yisrael? It never happened. We never made a bris. We don't care about the treaty, our covenant. We want you. We want to conquer Eretz Yisrael. We want to conquer Yerushalayim. We want to conquer the whole world. They come back a second time. But this time they're not successful. Their successes, they accomplish things in the region. There's no question about it. But it's insignificant. More or less, it's a failed conquest, a failed attempt. And then they come back a third time, about 200 years later. Well, no, it's not going to be 200 years from 100 years later, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and to conquer, not just destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but to conquer the region once again, other parts, other segments, to show who is in control. And here they are successful. So in the big picture of things, the way it's presented in Sefer Daniel, and in Chazal, at least according to the way we're going to learn now, there are three tkufos, three different periods of Roman conquest. The first and the third are successful. The second, the middle, is a failure. The first is during the time of the Chashmonaim, is during, after the period of the Chashmonaim, when they make an alliance with Klal Yisrael. It's the first 26 years of the period of the Chashmonaim, and then for the next 180 years, for that period of time they are successful. Then they come back a second time and they're not successful, and then they come back 180 years later from the first conquest for their third conquest, and they're very successful. In fact, they're so successful they destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That was the time of Titus, the Romans. So that's what here the pasuk here is telling us. It's telling us now about the first conquest. The first conquest, it's elaborating upon what we've said in the last few psukim, going back from Pasuk Chav Beis is where their conquest begins. Pasuk Chav Dal told us about their strategy, and now Pasuk Chav Hei tells us more about their success. V'yo'er koichoi, they will awake, they will arouse their power, ulevavo, and their heart, their will, their physical force and their desire, al Melech HaNegev. Melech HaNegev refers to the Egyptians. The main power in the region was not Eretz Yisrael, but was the Egyptians, the Egyptian Greeks. B'chayil Godol, with a great army. U'melech HaNegev Yiskore LaMelchama. And the king of the south, referring to the Egyptian Greeks, the Yiskore will be provoked, will be awoken, will provoke his people, la milchama, to war, b'chayil gadol, with a great army, v'atsum ad ma'od, what? They'll engage in war, v'atsum ad ma'od, and be extremely mighty, but v'lo yamot. The Egyptians, who we are calling here the king of the south, will not be successful. He will fall in war. Why? Ki yachshavu olav machashavos, because the Romans, which, by the way, according to Rashi, this is a very interesting point, we're now going to call the king of the north the Romans, even though the Romans do not come from the north, they really come from the south, but being that they take over the place of the Yevonim, the Syrian Greeks, who until now were called the Melech Tzafon. If you remember, in the beginning of this perek, we had these wars between the Melech Tzafon and the Melech HaNegev. After Alexander the Great died, the Malchus was divided into four plus parts. Among the four plus parts was the king of the Syrian Greeks, led by Antiochus, and the Egyptian Greeks, led by Ptolemy, who in Chazal is known as Talmai. Ptolemy in the secular records. And these, the north and the south, the Syrian, it was the Syrian Greeks against the Egyptian Greeks. And they were at constant war. The Melech Tzafon versus the Melech HaNegev. Now that Rome has come to power, Rome came to power primarily by conquering the dominant force, which was always the Syrian Greeks. The dominant force between the Egyptian Greeks and the Syrian Greeks were the Syrian Greeks. Now Rome has ascended, and Rome conquered through the help of Eretz Yisrael the Syrian Greeks, and now the Rome becomes in place of the Melech Tzafon. So according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, for here on in, it's a very important point, because if you don't know this point, it's very confusing when you learn the Perek in its entirety. The Melech Tzafon are now the Romans. Unlike the beginning of the Perek, where the Melech Tzafon were the Syrian Greeks.
They're still north relative to the Egyptians in the south, either one.
Okay. But it's still confusing. It's still confusing. It's still confusing because until now it was always the Syrian Greeks. Now all of a sudden we're calling them. What's going on? It's now they're being replaced by the Romans, and they're going to want to wipe out the Egyptian Greeks, which they do. That's what it says over here. V'yoyer koichel levav al melech hanegev b'chayil gadol. Melech hanegev yiskolel ha-melchama b'chayil gadol. Will engage them with a great army, the otzim admod. But guess who's going to win the war? The Romans will win the war. V'lo yamod ki yachshu olav machashavos, because they are more strategic. Not necessarily more powerful, but they have better strategy. They have thoughts. Better machshava. Let's see the Rashi first, and the Mitzvah's pasuk chafein Rashi.
Bribery.
Oh, okay. Let's see. So that you can learn sin the bribery. The machshavos go back to their previous pasuk. It's by giving away money, and part of their strategy was they bribed the generals of Egypt, the king of Egypt Ptolemy, and all of his. There was the whole long list of them, all the way down to I think nine Ptolemies. But that's just the king. Then there are generals and there are officers, and there's a whole hierarchy. And a good part of the hierarchy were paid off by the Romans to do the wrong thing in order to allow the Romans to conquer. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Chaf Hei V'lo Yamod Melech HaNegev. He will fall in war. Ki Yachshav V'lo Machshavos V'yisnaklu Olav. He will plan upon him L'hapilo Al Yidei Shechat. What are the machshavos? Very interesting. He's going to bribe the generals. The Romans are going to bribe the generals of Egypt. Sheichad sheyashchidu esfarav. He will bribe the princes. Liv goyid bo, to rebel against the king, against Ptolemy. Kimoy shehu mesayim, like the pasuk says. The next pasuk chavav will say what's going to happen. The omer viochli pasbago. Yish Biruhu will break him. Okay, we'll come to that pasuk in one moment, but let's see first the Mitzudos how he explains this pasuk, just to bring out the idea in more words. Pasuk Chafei in the Mitzudos David, the Yohir, V'hu Yo'er Koichoi V'yameitz Lovavo, he will arouse his might and his will. And the king of the south, the Egyptian Greeks, will engage in war, will come to battle, but he will not prevail, he will not survive. The Romans, so here he makes it very clear. Who is the Roman? The Melech Tzafon. Ramulus. You have Ramos in your opinion?
Yeah, Ramos.
Okay, I don't have that in mind. I have a different edition. Okay, there's a lot of different editions. The censors got, well, I have. Ki Anshe Romim. The people of Rome. You have Romulus, the general of Rome.
Ours might be the censor for it.
Right.
What? To the general of Rome, Melech Tzafon. So he's calling it here, the Mitzvah very clearly is calling the Melech Tzafon the Romans. That's a very confusing point. You have to remember, because in the beginning of this imperic, the Melech Tzafon were the Syrian Greeks. The Syrians have now been replaced by the Romans. Yachshvu machshavos al Melech HaNegev. How? L'shachet, to bribe. Sorry, Tzavo, the general, Laman, so that Yiv Gidu, they will rebel, Bimalkum, against the king, King Ptolemy, Velo Yilchamu Bigvura, they will not follow orders. They will not be strong in war, but they will capitulate, they will give in. That one more Pasuk, Pasuk Havav, how will they bribe them? Here's the bribe, Pasuk Havav. The Oichlei Pas Bogo. We had this expression in the beginning of Sefer Daniel, that Daniel was given by Nebuchadnezzar Pas Bag. The Pas Bag means the portion. It's an expression which means the portions of the kings. So the Oichlei Pas Bogo, the people that eat the bread of their portion from the king, meaning the generals and the officers, the people who are taking from the king, who are supposedly loyal to the king, Yishberuhu, will be responsible for the breaking. The word Yishberuhu means to break in. They will be responsible for the smashing and the breaking apart of their own king. Why? Because they're bribed. They accepted money, they're paid off by the Romans not to go to war, not to follow orders, not to do the things which would allow the king of Egypt to be successful. And that way the Romans were able to enter, look the other way, we'll enter from the back, we'll come into the palace, and we will kill your king, and we will prevail, we will succeed. V'chelo yishtof, and through this bribe, the army, the might of the king of the south will be swept away. Yishtof means flow away in the water. V'noflu, and will fall, chalolim rabim, many slain, many victims will be killed in war due to the bribe of the Romans. Pasuk Chavav in the Mitzrashi, Pasuk Pas Bagoy, Macholoi Noitel Pras Mishulchana, that we learned, this means that those people who are dependents, the people who are dependents upon the king, will take payoffs from another king to do something else. Pasuk, look in the Mitzudas Pasuk Chavav, the Oichle Pas Bagoy Rotzalemar, Sarav, Oichle Shulchan HaMelech Heim Yishbaru, also they will break him. They will be the cause of their own king's failure. Ki Yilchamu B'Mirma, they will fight with deceit. They won't really fight. They won't. They'll fly their planes in the wrong direction. You know why? Because they've been paid to do so by someone else. The king of the north, referring to the Romans, will sweep away the army of the south, of the Egypt. Will slay them in one shot. Okay, so that's what's going on. That's what we have here. So we're going further in history, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos. We're now further in the time of the Romans. The Romans now have a, at least at this moment in time, they're not causing harm to the Jewish people. That's at least because during this further, we learned yesterday, the first 26 years of their dominance in the region, the Romans were very peaceful with the Jews. And in fact, the only reason why they were able to come to power was because they made a bris, a covenant with Klal Yisrael. Now that they're there, they're using their influence to bribe, to pay off all of the neighbors, and they're now very successful. This is the first Roman conquest of the region, the first of three. And so far, it's going good for them. And so far, Klal Yisrael has not been harmed. They're safe. And in fact, a lot of people, they welcome this. They were very happy. The Romans were much better than the Syrian Greeks. The Syrian Greeks led to the Tsar of Hanukkah. When they got rid of the Syrian Greeks, they were replaced with the Romans. The Romans made peace with the Jews. It was very good in the beginning, for the first 26 years. And then,
Same with Alexander the Great.
And that's really Pasuk Chavav is where Pasuk Chavav. We're going to stop here. Is where things change. And now suddenly the Romans abrogate their treaty, and they start causing a lot of trouble for Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here.